Right. Well, going back over this past week, yeah, there was one big release that for once came in on the lower side of expectations, and that was the October CPI coming out of the US. And basically, you know, the market expected the CPI would be up 0.7% for the month. It was up only 0.4%. So as a result of that, that brought the annual rate of inflation down to 7.7% from 8.2%. And also the core CPI, taking out food and energy prices, was up only 0.3, market thought 0.5. So that brought the core CPI down to 6.3 from 6.6. The good news about this is that we, you know, are past the hump in US inflation. So you know, the peak was a few months ago when we were well and truly up in the eights. You know, it now looks as if we can expect, you know, the inflation rate to moderate. The news which is still problematic is that we can't really expect inflation to get down at a low point in the middle of next year, much less than about 4%. Some of the reason for that is, you know, even when we get a month like October, where we had several prices which showed some quite big falls, you know, these are goods prices where, you know, some of the supply chain problems have started to come out. So things which had been inflating going back a while back, like the prices of new cars and used cars, you know, new cars actually fell 0.3% month on month, and used cars fell by 0.6% month on month inside the CPI. So yeah, those are the ones which are pulling back. But inside the CPI, we've also got some prices which are actually rising faster. And amongst those is a very big one. That's the cost of shelter, which is, it's not going to go away. You know, the cost of shelter is going to be there, offsetting some of this pressure that is starting to come out from goods price inflation. The other thing is it was still 0.4% month on month. You know, you annualise that, you're going to get to 4.8% at some point over the course of the next 12 months. It may get a little bit less than that, but nowhere near the Fed's 2% target. So, you know, the other take on this is, yeah, you know, a bit of euphoria around this. It's good for the time being, but it doesn't allow the Fed yet to stop tightening policy. And what it does mean is they can pivot to, you know, not quite such large interest rate hikes. But what the Fed has to engineer over time is some certainty that it can expect to get back to 2% inflation over the next 2 to 3 years. To do that, you need to get wage growth, currently running still close to 5%, down to about 3.5%. And to do that, you have to engineer a rise in U.S. unemployment sustainably to around the 4% mark or a bit above for a period, and from the current 3.7%. So until the Fed can really convince in itself and can give a credible argument that, yes, you know, we have got the unemployment rate, which is going to go up to around about that mark, it's still in the business of tightening monetary policy. It doesn't have to wait till inflation comes down, because inflation's a lagged indicator after the unemployment rate, which is in turn a lagged indicator on economic activity. But, you know, we're still quite a way before the Fed can stop tightening monetary policy. So, you know, that's the sorts of take that comes from the CPI release. But it's certainly relief in the very near term. But, you know, it's still a fairly fragile relief rally. This week in the US, we'll get producer prices coming out on Tuesday. This will give us an idea of what's still in the pipeline, and the expectation on that is there'll be some moderation in the annual rate of producer price inflation at the headline level. The market's expecting 0.5% month on month. That would bring the annual rate down to 8.3 from 8.5. If there's another upside surprise or low side surprise on that, then yeah, that may give market cause for a bit more euphoria. And the core PPI, taking out food and energy prices, is expected to rise 0.4% after rising 0.3% the month before. That would keep the annual rate on that around about the 7.2% mark. We'll also get some economic the activity indicators coming out over the course of this next week. Some of them are the regional purchasing managers' indices, so things like the New York State, the Empire State survey for the month of November is coming out. This was in weaker territory. It was -9.1, so it's in contractionary territory. It's expected still to have a negative sign on the front, and the market's looking for around about -7 on that. It's the same story for the Philadelphia Fed survey, which comes out later in the week as well. And there, that was at -8.7 in contractionary territory going back to October, and the market's looking for -8 on that. And we've also got a lot of housing indicators too, and all of those are expected to be pretty soft. So you've got the National Association of Home Builders Index. That was quite a weak reading at 38 coming in for the month of October, expected to deteriorate further to 36. And we've got home building permits and housing starts, as is the case with housing just about everywhere now. That's in some downturn. We've also got existing home sales coming out. All of those are expected to have a negative sign on the month-on-months, ranging from between -2% expectation for housing starts for October to -6.8% for existing home sales for the month of October. So all these lead indicators are definitely pointing down for the US, but we've got to get towards the coincident and lagging indicators before the Fed could even start to think about taking its foot off the brake. We also get October retail sales, and these look pretty robust actually for the month of October. So this is the other anomaly at the moment. The leads pointing down, but we've still got some residual strength running through the US economy. As far as retail sales are concerned, they're expected to rise by 0.9%. For the month in October, and core retail sales are expected to be pretty robust at +0.5 as well. So still a bit of a mixed bag there. This week in China, or last week in China, you know, we had some data came out. The Chinese economy has been slowing quite a bit, and we saw it in the October export and import data. This is one of the areas which has been helping to hold up the Chinese economy. Well, certainly not in October. The year-on-year change for exports slipped below zero to -0.3% year-on-year from +5.7 going back the month before. The market was hoping for +4.3, so it was a big miss on the downside. Imports were down too, and these were a proxy for domestic spending in China as well. And so market expected a 0.1% increase. They got a fall of -0.7% year-on-year. The CPI and PPI in China's actually falling quite a deal as well. So we've got the CPI for the month of October, where the annual rate of inflation in China's come all the way down to 2.1% from 2.8. This is a function, obviously, of a very soft economy. And also for producer prices. Producer prices went from +0.9% year-on-year to -1.3% year-on-year for the most recent month. And you know, that could prove helpful for other economies too, because you know, China, even though it's on the nose with many other countries, is still something of the manufacturer for the world. Of course, that may not remain the case. You know, we've seen examples where, you know, Apple, for example, has removed all of its manufacturing capacity, its direct investment in China. It's one of many companies that recognizes that when you look at China, if you're investing in factories, directly investing in China, and you're an investor, the investment outlook is absolutely appalling, because at some point over the next 10 years, you can be fairly much convinced that China's going to try and march into Taiwan. Now, even if you put a probability on that of 25 or 50%, what that implies is that your investment in China has a 25 to 50% chance of going to zero once that starts. So yeah, when you're looking at the investment risk for China, it's enormously high for anybody who's thinking. So you know, some of those factories that were building there, international factories, certainly in the process of being shut down and taken somewhere else. So, yeah, that's going to continue. Chinese are aware of that. They know they've got an economy which is on the ropes at the moment, and this probably accounts for why, you know, we are getting some shift in their way in which they're dealing with COVID. And they are in the process, it appears, of just starting to open up their international borders again. That added to a little bit of hope about the way in which China may perform in markets last week. But I say it's going to be a problematic economy for quite some time now. This week in China, on Tuesday, we get all of their big data items come out for the month. So we get fixed asset investment, industrial production, and also retail sales for the month of October. We also get October house prices, and we also get their unemployment rate in China. As far as fixed asset investment is concerned, you know, this is the one area that they're trying to boost, but it's just holding around about the 5.9% year-on-year mark, which is not that strong for fixed asset investment spending in China. Industrial production in the month of October, if anything, has come backwards, and they're expecting it to moderate from 6.3% year-on-year to 5.2%. And the big one's really retail sales. This one is still very, very soft, largely because of the shutdowns they've had. And so it was up only 2.5% year-on-year going back to September, expected to moderate to 1% year-on-year for the month of October. Then just coming to Australia, and last week, we've still got a lot of residual strength in the economy, and you can see it in the NAB Business Conditions Survey. It's still holding at very, very elevated levels. It was at plus 25, just about record high, going back to the month of September. It's still at plus 22. Which is enormously high reading and reflects that profits for Australian companies have actually been very, very strong. But business confidence with the changes in the global environment and the way in which the Reserve Bank's been putting interest rates up, that has faded. And so it was at plus 5 going back to the month of September. It's come back to 0 for the most recent month. And again, we've got a split between what consumers are saying in sentiment surveys and what they're actually doing in terms of spending. We had the November Westpac Consumer Sentiment Survey came out, and it was down another 6.9%. It's now trawling at very, very low levels, and you would normally expect these sorts of readings to lead to some softening in retail sales long before now, but retail sales have been holding up. It's been one of those conundrums where the willingness to go and spend after the freedom from restrictions and COVID restrictions has led to quite a boost in spending, which has been quite long lasting. And all the reports are that moving into the Christmas party season, Australians aren't in any mood to shut down shop. They want to go out and party. And so it may continue for a little while yet. And this is obviously a little bit problematic for the Reserve Bank as it tries to contain demand. This week in Australia, we get some pretty key labour readings. We get the Q3 wage price index reading. And this one, looks as if it'll be up around about 0.9% month on month. That will contain part of the minimum wage case rise that went through. And if that's where it comes in, that would lift the annual rates for the wage price index to 3% from 2.6%. That's still not at a problematic rate as far as the Reserve Bank's concerned. The Reserve Bank can tolerate wage growth that, as I've said many times, around the 3.5% mark, that would be consistent with them getting back to 2-3% inflation over a long period of time. So providing this isn't racing away, wages at this point, unlike the United States where wages are a problem for the long-term inflation outlook still, in Australia that's not the case. We'll also get the employment data coming out on Thursday. Expected to see a modest increase of around 15,000 for the most recent month. And if the participation rate stays the same at 66.6, the unemployment rate will stay probably around about the 3.5% mark, very, very low. We have heard from various senior research bank people over the past week And you know, the tenor of the comments are that they still have more work to do. They still have more work to do in terms of getting the cash rate up, but they can afford to move relatively slowly for the time being. So still expecting further interest rate increases from the Reserve Bank. And we're not quite at the US point yet where our inflation rate's over the hump. We've still got a little way to go, as have many other countries internationally, before they start to see the inflation rate just starting to peel down. As far as Europe's concerned, we had Centix investor confidence still very, very soft, minus 30.9 from minus 3. And we also had September retail sales. Rather like everywhere else, there's still some life in retail sales in Europe, up 0.4% for the most recent month after being flat the month before. Not as strong as many other places, but it's one of those areas where there's still a little bit of strength running through. This week in Europe, we'll get industrial production, which is still okay as far as Europe's concerned. We'll get the third quarter GDP, a revision of that. Europe just eked out a very small gain in Q3. It's on the verge of being in recession. It was 0.2% quarter on quarter, up 2.1% year on year. Across the channel in the UK, they had their Q3 GDP and it had a negative sign on the front of it. So already that sort of appear to have fallen into recession. So as we look out over the course of this week, there's still some residual euphoria from the inflation reading in the US. Over time, that could last a little while yet, but at time, there's a realization is going to come in that the Fed still has work to do. It's still got to get rates up to a point where the unemployment rate in the US gets up to around about the 4% mark, if not a bit above. But it doesn't want to drive that too high, otherwise you end up with a very, very hard landing in the US. So very, very fine balancing act. And if anything, the markets still have to come to terms with that. But we haven't got to a point, even with the better than expected CPI, where the Fed can stop tightening monetary policy. That's still got a way to run before they can think of stopping, and there's still a risk that they may end up faulty overkill.